You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast. It is Irish 2000 Guineas Day at the Curragh. Seven races to come on this preview, and it's a really good looking classy card over at the Curragh. Sam Norris here in the studio, and joining me on the line as ever with his eyes across all the Irish action is Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
How are you today, sir?
I'm really well.
Good stuff. As I said there, Andy, it's a very classy looking card today at the Curragh, as you would expect for Irish 2000 Guineas Day.
Yeah, it's an absolute star-studded day's racing over in Ireland. Definitely the best day's racing we've had so far across the RSC so far this season. As you say, the showpiece, the marquee race is the Irish 2000 Guineas, which has got a really good feel about it. You know, you've got the right horses in there this year. You've got Galileo Gold, the winner of the English equivalent, up against, obviously, Aidan O'Brien's Battalion. And you chuck into the mix one or two interesting contenders from home source, such as Ortard and Blue de Vega. And with the dead eight runners going to post, it's a nice each-way betting race as well. So plenty for the punters to get stuck into today.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we can say that about quite a few of the races today at the Curragh. In fact, I think we've only got one race that's got less than eight runners. So plenty of each-way scope with the action today.
Oh, you say that as if you've got me in mind as well with Each Way magazine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've certainly got my eye on a few races with regards to some each-way thievery. But yeah, a lot of the two-year-old races, the one two-year-old race in particular has got me quite jiggy this morning with a horse I think is overpriced due to the change of conditions, and we should mention that as well. Good to firm in place, as it says in the Racing Post this morning. I spoke to a colleague of mine who's over in the Curragh today on duty for Adrian Keighley, and he said that they've had plenty of overnight rain. It's now good to soft or good to yielding.
Right.
And it might actually get worse than that throughout the day. There are showers forecast like there is over this side of the RSC. So just bear that in mind if you're punting tonight, Ireland. You know, it's not going to be on the quick side. It's probably going to get worse and deteriorate throughout the afternoon.
Okay, yeah, well worth taking that into your calculations if you are betting at the Curragh today. We begin, though, our preview with race number one coming up at 3:20. One of those aforementioned two-year-old races. This is a 6-furlong maiden where Velveteen is the 7-4 favourite. Has been well supported this morning in from 9-4. 11-4 for Howe. Magical Fire is 5-1. 8-1 for Brave Anna. And it's double-figure prices or bigger for the rest of them. Was this the two-year-old race that you had on your mind, Andy, or was it another one?
Not necessarily, although I do think this is a very intriguing affair. The market seems to be centering around Joe Lyons' two-year-old down at the bottom, Velveteen, who was well fancied to make a winning debut at Nace the other day. And it's that racing question that I think might just chuck up the winner here. Of course, Howe and Brave Anna, who were in behind, reoppose on that occasion. And they all ran respectably without actually threatening or troubling the judge that day. I think the unlucky one was the horse that finished the nearest to the front runners, and that was Velveteen, who unfortunately got drawn in stall one. And as it often does pan out at Nace on the straight track, on easy ground, they often come down the middle of the course, and that is exactly what Velveteen didn't want, because she was stuck on the far side rail. She didn't get the clearest to run through either. But once she got out into the clear, you could certainly see why connections and supporters of her were backing her into 11-4 favouritism that particular day. She'd obviously threatened to live up to that reputation. She's drawn 12-12 today, which is obviously another bonus as well for her. Right up against the stand side fence is always a huge advantage here at the course. So she's got everything in her favour. I do think she's the one to beat. But back in the field that day, and one I'm going to put up at a decent price against her, is Brave Anna. Now, she ran in accordance to how a lot of Aidan O'Brien's two-year-olds usually do in juvenile races, i.e. run with a dummy in its mouth and completely have no idea what she was doing. However, she did pick up quite readily in the latter stages of the race to suggest that she would be better with the experience and over an extra furlong. And that, of course, is what she encounters today. A stiff 6 furlongs here at the Curragh should be absolutely ideal for her. And I think wherever Velveteen finishes, you've got to suggest that Brave Anna will be somewhere near to the coattails of Joe Lyons' runner. So Those are definitely the two to concentrate on out of that race at Nacy of the Day. But because Brave Anna is a much bigger price at 8-1, we can go with her each way.
Brave Anna it is then for Aidan O'Brien and Shami Heffernan, who gets the nod in the 3:20 race. Number two now comes up at 3:55, a 6-furlong handicap. And this one looks set to be hotly contested as well. In Salutum heads affairs at 5-1. 6-1 for Master Speaker and Mr. Wright. Downforce is 8-1. 17-2 for Casbar. Tens or bigger prices, the rest of them. I know you're a huge fan of this In Salutum, Andy. Can you go in today?
I think it's just I'm duty bound to tip In Salutum in every single race, in every single podcast I do. It would be remiss of me not to do so. And I think a lot of the William Hill podcasters, the regulars anyway, will expect me to do it. And I'm not going to let them down either. Although I didn't put him up the other day because I was on holiday, I certainly saw that run of his, and it was very much In Salutum's profile in, encapsulated in one performance. An unlucky, agonising, never near a second in a keenly contested, stiff 5-furlong race behind Ard Humi, of course, who franked the form with a win yesterday at Cork. The form was obviously very, very good. It looked a really good race at Navan, and the time figures suggested it was as well. But In Salutum was definitely the best horse in the race. And he should have won. But unfortunately, that's his career. He should have won more races than he has done. And you can see by his form figures, he's littered with seconds and thirds and short head, necks, heads, defeats. And a lot of them have all been down to him having absolutely no luck in running. If he had no bad luck, he'd had no luck at all. But on his day, he's really deadly in these kind of races. A, he's got a good draw here today. B, he loves the Curra. And I think C, more significantly, Connections have decided to ditch their usual pilot as well on him. Billy Lee, Shane Fowley have been riding him, but they're on duty elsewhere. They've gone for Pat Smullen today, which I think just could, that change of jockey just could enlighten the horse, and maybe the champion jockey might just get the best out of Ken Condon's charge. The yard's in great form as well. Ken's horse has really turned the corner. And as I say, In Salutum absolutely loves it here at the Curra. It's hard to see him with any amount of luck in running, him not running a big race here today. Obviously, his old major rivals, Master Speaker, Mr. Wright, et al., have all got to be considered, as they all have in these kind of events. But surely, it's got to be the day where everything goes right for In Salutum. And if today's the day, then hopefully he'll come through and win.
In Salutum then gets the choice of Andy in the 3:55 race. Number three then comes up at 4:30 in the first pattern race of the day. This is a 5-furlong listed event. This is the Marble Hill Stakes, where the market is headed by Caravaggio. At 10-11, it's 4-1 for Roly Poly. Ready to Rock is 7-1, 8-1 for Mr. Trader. Ambiguity is 10-1. It's bigger prices for the rest of them. We haven't seen much of these runners, Andy, but the runs we have seen, they all go under the potentially promising category.
Yeah, this is a race I'm really interested in from a betting perspective. Certainly my speed figures anyway suggest that there's one horse that's massively overpriced. I'll get on to him in a second. We'll deal with the front end of the market and the Aidan O'Brien battalion. I do think Caravaggio is a very, very nice horse in the making. He could easily be up to the standard of Royal Ascot, maybe the Coventry, who knows. But he made a really impressive winning debut on the Curra, at Dundalk back in April when he was backed off the boards completely as if there's no question he was going to get beat. And he justified it by winning by two lengths from his stabber companion, Lundy. Now, the form has been boosted by the runner-up. He went to win the other day at Leopardstown in very impressive fashion. So I've no hesitation in suggesting that he's probably the classiest horse in this race. But we don't know where they'll handle the conditions today. I'm suggesting it's going to be on the easy side of good. And Be By Scat Daddy, obviously an American bred, and the fact that he made his all-weather debut on a decent surface suggests that the ground underfoot is a little bit of an unknown. The same applies to the likes of Ambiguity as well. That's also a little bit of a concern. And Ready to Rock as well also had a victory at Dundalk as well, so we're not sure whether he'll handle the conditions. However, we do know that Mr. Trader and the Darren Bunyan stable will relish any further rain they do receive at the County Kildare venue today. And he is the automatic choice. I was really impressed with the way this horse won on debut. It was a 25-1 poke, but he won like an odds-on shot. He won by four and a half lengths. He pulled well clear of what's turned out to be a very decent field in a very fast time. It's that time figure, actually, that puts him well clear on my numbers here. But the third has won, Calendar. The fourth has won, Tilly Trotter. And even the 11th, the McGreganator, went on to win next time out. So I'm pretty sure that that form is reliable. The time figure, like I say, has been boosted. He's got a good draw today. And you shouldn't underestimate this horse. He looked a very, very nice performer on debut. 8-1 with William Hill this morning. Probably at the price is my best value bet on the card today. Mr. Trader, each way in the 4:30.
Mr. Trader, then a very interesting vote in the 4:30 for Andy. We go ahead now to race number four. This is the 5:05 six furlong event here. This is the Group 2 Greenland Stakes, where the market is fronted by Richard Fahey's Don't Touch at 11-10. Fort Deloro is 3-1. It's 10-1 for Marek. Dick Whittington is 12s. Gordon Lord Byron 12s. 14s or bigger for the rest of them. Still incredibly unbeaten in six starts is Don't Touch, Andy. Does that record stay intact today?
Hopefully not, no. It wouldn't surprise me if he did win, because he's just a very, very likeable and progressive individual. Went through last season unbeaten, of course, rounded off by winning the ultra-tough Air Gold Cup. And then he made no mistake first time out as well, beating a decent field, which included the reliable Baccarat and Watchable and the good time. He's got 4 months soft ground, and we obviously know he stays a six furlong, stiff six furlongs really well. But he's up against my favourite horse in training in Ireland, the indomitable Fort Deloro, who I think regular podcasters listen to William Hill Radio well understand the affection I hold this horse in. I just think she's an absolutely brilliant filly, and hopefully this season will justify my beliefs that she could be absolutely top class. She started off the season in listed company at Nace when she skittled her field in pretty dominant fashion, and considering that five furlong trip would have been short of her best, I thought it was a really good start to her 2016 campaign. We know she's got really good form here at the Curragh. She's 2 from 4 at the track. She hasn't actually been out the first three in her four outings at the County Kildare venue. She's got a good draw today, a decent pace should suit, underfoot conditions ideal, just on the easy side of good. Everything looks set fair for Fort Deloro to give Don't Touch and supporters of the favourite all the trouble they can handle.
Okay, Fort Deloro, the choice for Andy then. In that 5:05, let's go ahead now to the 5:40 in the feature race of the day in Ireland, the Irish 2000 Guineas, a Group 1 over a mile on the new course. Galileo Gold is the 7-4 favourite after his victory in the Newmarket Guineas. Air Force Blue next in at 3-1, 6-1 about Ortard. Air Vice Marshall is 7s, 10-1 for Blue De Vega, and 20s or bigger the remainder. Obviously, Galileo Gold here bidding for the Guineas double after the Derby was ruled out. Can he confirm form with Air Force Blue, given that Air Force Blue can't possibly be as bad as he was at Newmarket, Andy?
No, obviously, it's gone on record to say that Aidan O'Brien wasn't happy with the way he trained Air Force Blue. Surprisingly, they put a tongue tie him, and the combination of all those factors didn't really work out for the short prize favour that day. And it was Galileo Gold who came out on top. He was a bit of a surprise win at 14-1, but there's definitely no fluke about that performance. Shouldn't be underestimated. He did it from stall one as well, down the middle of the field. He pulled hard in the early stages, he expended a lot of energy, and yet he's still a length and a half too good for the field, and he scored in a very, very fast time. The form of the 2000 Guineas is always worth considering in any race, and I've no reason to suggest this year's should be anything otherwise. He's definitely the one to beat, but he's running up against the horses here that have very much been trained with this race in mind on the home soil, and the two that I quite like against him are the two that fought out the finish here over 7 furlongs in the early part of the month, and that was Ortard and Blue De Vega. Now, Ortard had the benefit of a run that day, and, of course, he had very much his soft underfoot conditions in his favour, whereas Michael Callaghan's Blue De Vega would have been a little bit ring rusty after his winter's break, and that's very much how it turned out to be. Although there's two lengths to make up on Ortard, I expect him to certainly get close to turning the form around here today. Conditions are ideal for him, and reading Mark O'Callaghan's blogs and listening to him on that race, he was very much telling us all that this horse would improve significantly for that first run. He very much needed it that day. He's bred to get beyond actually a mile, so I think the stiff mile here today will be absolutely ideal for him. He's available at back around about 10-1 this morning, and with the dead eight runners hopefully set to go to post, I really do think Blue De Vega is going to run a huge race here today, and I recommend you have a nice bet on him each way.
Blue De Vega, the one in the Irish 2000 Guineas, then each way at 10-1 for Andy. We go ahead to the 6:15. Now, this is a Group 2 for the fillies and mares over a mile. The Lornade Stud Stakes, and where Lucida heads affairs for the boys in blue at 5-4. It's 4-1 about Irish Rookie. Anippy is 5-1. 7-1 for Devonshire. Fluff is 11-1. It's 14-1 for Hint of a Tint. And Queen Katrine rounds off this field at 25-1. What do you like in this fillies Group 2 contest, Andy?
Well, the market likes Lucida, but I wouldn't be so sure as to take a very skinny price about Jim Bolger's filly, who, let's face it, didn't really live up to the expectations and her reputation last year as a three-year-old, obviously having a very good two-year-old campaign. We knew that she was potentially a star filly for last year, but things just didn't quite pan out. Obviously, she was second in the 1,000 guineas beyond Legatissima, but that was about as good as it got. She's obviously had one or two issues. She only had three runs in her career last year, and she's been off the track for 316 days. So not sure whether they're going to get the foot down on the pedal with her today. So I'm going to have a stab at something else who's already had a run this season, and I'm going to go with Devonshire. She's a filly I like, and she runs this track particularly well. She's yet to finish out of the first three in four outings at the County Kildare venue, and she warmed up for this race with a good run first time out here over the course and distance, where she was beaten by Queen Blossom, but it was a day where very much stamina and ability to handle conditions dominated, and I'm not sure whether Devonshire was quite on the money that particular afternoon, whereas Queen's Blossom was. William McCree's horses have also come on in leaps and bounds in the last few weeks, particularly her fillies. Willie's had a hell of a lot of winners with the female sex, including Ursimum, who won at Killarney the other night, and Petticoat Government as well, who won at Ney. So things are very much rose in the McCreary camp. Conditions are fine for Devonshire, just on the easy side of good. Stiff Ma here at the Corrie no suits. What's not to like? And she's 7-1 this morning, so Devonshire definitely the value pick in the penultimate race.
Devonshire then getting the vote in that 6:15 race. We go to the final race now at the Curragh on Saturday. This is the 6:45 handicap here over a mile and a half, where the market is headed by Alvina at 5-2. PK Sue for Willie Mullins and Ryan Moore is 6-1. It's 7-1 for Shadigan. Zebek is also 7-1. 7-1 about Moonmeister, and 12s or bigger prices for the rest of them. Alvina, an obvious one that the market has centred around. Any good support for that this morning into 5-2 from 7-2. There'll be a lot of people, though, interested in the second five as well. 700 days off, and Ryan Moore riding for Willie Mullins will catch the eye of a lot of people in the race guard this morning.
Yeah, very much an interesting runner here, Pika Sue. I certainly think he's definitely worth keeping on side how he performs today, because he was a Royal Ascot winner, of course, a couple of years ago. I think maybe the Royal meeting is very much on the agenda for this horse, however he performs this afternoon. Something perhaps like the Ascot Stakes over 2.5 miles. So this looks a bit of a pipe opener over a mile and a half, in my estimation today. Alvina's obviously going to come into consideration, having won already this season. But the two I like come out of that Leopardstown race of the day, which was won by Intasare. Now, Zebek made the run in that day in the first time blinkers, and he only just got picked off late on by Gerline's Discharge, an agonising defeat. But he does run this track well. I think another positive ride can see John Ox's Charge very much in the mix. And the other one to take out of that race is Shadigan, who came from a long, long way off the speed to finish a never near the third. But he absolutely adores the Curragh. If you have a look at his form figures here, he won two, been placed once in four starts. So with that run under his belt and back to his favourite track, I do think that Mickey Halford's Charge should also be worth considering in this particular race. So two against the field in the final race. The two that come out of that at Leopardstown, hot handicap on the time figures, Zebek and Shadigan.
Two there in the 6:45 to consider for Andy. Just remind us, please, then one more time, your seven selections for the action on 2,000 Guineas Day in Ireland.
Yeah, still sunny afternoon at the Curragh. Just keep your eye on the weather there this afternoon. Good to yielding at the moment and likely to get a bit softer, which has obviously changed the shape of quite a few races today. Brave Anne is my choice in the first. Thought she ran a night-catching race in that race. Velveteen was 6 in on debut. Interlutum is the automatic choice each way in 3:55. Hopefully luck will be on his side today. Mr. Trader is probably my best bet on the card at the price in the 4:30. I do think he's slightly overlooked by bookmakers and punters alike. And my favourite horse in training, just slightly getting the vote over Interlutum, of course, is Fort Doloro, and hopefully she'll keep up my belief that she's one of the best sprinters around in that group to Greenlands. In the 5-4 to the Irish 2,000 Guineas, obviously one or two big names are on show here, but Blue de Vega's got a really good chance to splash his name in the limelight here for Michael O'Callaghan. Hopefully he'll do just that. In the 6:15, favourite Lucida looks a little bit vulnerable after a big layoff, so I'm going to go with Devonshire. And in the final race, I'll be very keen on the form at Leopardstown of the day, which Zebek and Shadigan were second and third respectively, and I suggest a split stakes, two-pronged attack with those two in the last.
Lovely stuff. Thanks to Andy Holding there for his selections at the Curragh. And if you want to hear how Andy's selections are getting on today, we'll be taking in the meeting from Ireland from 4:30 onwards on William Hill's Racing Radio, alongside all of the domestic action in full. We're on air from 1:40 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi in the studio. So we'd love you to join us for all of that. But thanks very much for speaking to me this morning, Andy. Best of luck at the Curragh today, and we'll catch up again tomorrow ahead of the 1,000 Guineas.
Yeah, look forward to it. Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.